49. Yeah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Angri Mastakam Apunas Tulasi Nava Damabi Kamalai Sarva Gatreshu Bhuri Ponyavad Arpita Hungry Mastakamapunas Tulasi Navadam Nabi Kamalai Sarva Gatreshu Bhuri Ponyavad Arpitae Angri Mastakam Apurnas Tulasi Navadam Nabi Kamalaya Sarva Gatreshu Bhuri Punyavar Arpita. Angri Mastakam Apurnas Tulasi Navadharmabhi Kamalaya Sarva Gatreshu Bhuri Punyavar Arpitai Angri Mastakam Apurnas Tulasi Navadharmabhi Kamalaya Sarva Gatreshu Bhuri Punyavar Arpitai Angri Mastakam Apunas Tulasi Navadam Nabi Kamalaya Sarva Gatreshu Bhuri Punyavar Arpitai Angri Mastakam. From the feet to the top of the head. Apurna. Fully decorated. Tulasi Navadhammabhi. With garlands of fresh tulasi leaves. Kamalai, tender, soft. Sarva Gatreshu, on all the limbs of the body. Bhuri Punyavat Arpitai, which were offered by devotees engaged in the greatest pious activities. Worshipping the Supreme Lord. By hearing, chanting, and so on. Translation by His Divine Grace, by Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Every part of their bodies, from their feet to the top of their heads, was fully decorated with fresh, tender garlands of tulasi leaves, offered by devotees engaged in worshipping the Lord by the greatest pious activities. Namely, hearing and chanting. Please repeat. Every part of their bodies, from their feet to the top of their heads, was fully decorated with fresh, tender garlands of tulasi leaves, offered by devotees engaged in worshipping the Lord. By the greatest of pious activities, namely hearing and chanting. Purport. The words Bhuri Punyavad Arpitae is significant in this verse. These forms of Vishnu were worshipped by those who had performed pious activities, Shukriti V, for many births, and who were constantly engaged in devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Bhakti, devotional service, is the engagement for those who have performed highly developed pious activities. The accumulation of pious activities has already been mentioned elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10, 12, 11, where Shukadeva Goswami says, Itam shatam brahma shukyana bhutya dasham gatanam paradaivatina maya shritanam naradara kina shakam bijaru krita punya punja. Those who are engaged in self-realization, appreciating the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, and those engaged in devotional service, accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a master, as well as those who are under the clutches of Maya, thinking the Lord is an ordinary person, they cannot understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as a cowherd boy. In our Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, there is a tamala tree that covers the entire corner of the courtyard. Before there was a temple, the tree was lying neglected, but now it is developed very luxuriantly, covering the whole corner of the courtyard. This is a sign of Bhuri Punya. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Saranjanan Shalake Vatakshudam Viratandrina Tasmaya Sri Girvinava Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadatha Sri Bhashari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama 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 Hari Hari. So here Prabhupada, he's talking about Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. Sometimes he mentions things in his purports, like up-to-date things. But he's talking about the tamala tree that was there in Vrindavan. And when they built Krishna Balaram temple, that tree, the tree is kind of in the way. It's in the courtyard. It's in the Nat Mandir. So they asked Srila Prabhupada, can we take this tree down? And Prabhupada said, no, he said, it's a tamal tree. They were quite scarce in that area. I think there was another one close by, but that was and outside of that, they were quite a long way. And Prabhupada said, no, this tree should stay here, shouldn't cut it. And then he says, then later on it became luxurious and covered the whole courtyard. I think that tree left some years ago now. They put another one there, it's already grown up also. So Prabhupada's given this as an example of Krita Vundi Punja. By heaps of pious activities, these boys playing with Krishna as a friend and the cowboy friend. After heaps and heaps of pious activities. I'm not sure exactly how Prabhupada's writing it, but at least we can see that the tulsi tree, the tamala tree, must have performed many pious activities to take birth in Braja anyway. And to get a place like that in the temple, 24 hours a day he's there. He's seeing Radha, Radha Shamsunda, Krishna Balaram, Gonitai. He's seeing that darshan 24 hours a day, as long as the deed is open. But he's in the temple 24 hours a day. He's hearing the holy name 24 hours a day. So maybe for this reason Prabhupada is saying this is a sign of punya puncha punja. Rajananda Nandana Prabhu was there for some time. You know what the small tree reminded me of? Tama. Okay. Hare Krishna. So Srimati Radharani can, when she sees the black tree, immediately she's lost. She's standing there. She's lost, actually. I used to like the darshan, the evening darshan. It's 8 o'clock whenever it was. And Radharani was just there. She was lost, actually, and she was Shamashunda by her side. And she had such a beautiful expression during that evening program. She was like that. I thought of that. She's lost. She's lost. This must be Radha above. She's in Radha above. And no one can understand her mood, but the way she's there, it looks like she's... Yeah, so Radharani is gazing at Shamashunda. She sees a blackish form. She's forgotten maybe Krishna standing next to her. Anyway, Krita Punja Punja. Prabhupada mentions this verse many, many times in Bhagavatam to see how by performing pious activities, not actually by pious activities themselves as such, but here it mentions that the pious activities of hearing and chanting. So that's a spiritual pious activity, it's not a material pious activity of hearing and chanting. These are the greatest of pious activities. Hearing and chanting. So that's their pious activities. They were simply hearing and chanting. When Krishna disappeared from the dancing arena, when Krishna appeared for the rasa dance, and the gopis came to meet him. maybe another time. Anyway, it's Krishna, when Krishna says, "I cannot repay you for the debt," even throughout lifetimes of the demigods, I cannot repay your love for me. I have nothing to give you. So please, you be satisfied with your own pious activities. I asked someone, what does it mean? Pious activities of the gopis. What pious activities are they performing? And the devotee said, we're chanting and hearing about Krishna. That was their devotional service. They were performing their devotion. That was their pious activity, hearing and chanting about Krishna. But anyway, after heaps of these transcendental pious activities, one gets the position of playing as a cowherd boy with all those other boy cowboys. He was talking about the every part of the bodies, from the feet to the top of the head, was decorated with fresh tulsi garlands. And tulsi leaves were offered by devotees engaged in worshipping the Lord by the greatest pious activities of hearing and chanting. So here, Prabhupada's giving a lot, or Sukadeva Goswami is giving the translation dedicated to the tulsi garlands. Here, the tulsi need all these forms of Vishnu and they transformed Krishna, all the cowboys, all the cow, everything became Vishnu Murti. And they were all, they're throwing tulsi leaves on Vishnu. They all became Vishnu, and Vishnu was worshipping Krishna. So in other words, the cowboys and cowboys, they were God. So what was one of their main emphasis here of God? Throwing tulsi leaves, offering tulsi. So if God's devotional service, or one of his highly praise devotional service, accepting, throwing the, offering tulsi leaves and tulsi garlands to the other form, the original form of God. So that's how much the tulsi is respected and honored. That even Krishna, when he worships Krishna, he's always showing us by offering tulsi. It's a great worship. I was in Prabhupada's room one time, and he was asking me how you are worshipping the deity, and I gave a step-by-step breakdown of what we were doing, and you know, we bring the deities down, we polish them, and with the tilak paste, and he said, what mantras are you using? That time we didn't have mantras as such. So I said, we chant the Brahma Samhita, Govinda prayers, Prabhupada. And the pujaris also, we chant the Brahma Gayatri before we start. And Prabhupada said, Gayatri, Om is there, Vedic mantra, very good, Om is there. And so then I was carried on with the explanation. You know, we bathe the deities and we dry the deities, and then we offer clothing to the deities. But when I got to that point that we offer clothing to the deities, Prabhupada said, "Now," he said, "at this time, you should offer tulsi on Krishna's feet." So generally, according to the Padatis, the tulsi archan are offering the tulsis after dressing, decoration, everything like that. Then they offer ganda and flowers. At that time, according to the rules, you offer tulsi to the feet at that time. But Prabhupada said no. At that time, I took it to mean Krishna has just been bathed and everything. So, and dried, so he's completely naked. What is the first offering to Krishna? Tulsi. So that's the first. She's like Bhakti Devi, Tulsi, Tulsi Sesha. You offer Tulsi. There was another instance in Australia, and Prabhupada was installing Gonitai, I believe Gonitai, and because there's also the side you shouldn't offer Tulsi leaf to Gonitai because they come as the Bhaktas, they're Bhakta Avataras, so we shouldn't offer Tulsi leaf. It may interfere with the mood. So there's two. Except that that party is there, and another party they will offer because they were Vishnu Tattva and they're sitting on the altar, and that this is how we worship Vishnu Tattva deities. And if you're thinking of Gaunitai as bhaktas, that's more like Bhava Bhakti, isn't it? But. So then they got to that point in of bathing the Gaunitai in Australia. and then the pujari, Prabhupada was sitting there supervising it, and the pujari was doing the service. And the pujari turns to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, should we put tulsi leaves on Krishna's feet? Prabhupada's answer. Put in between their feet. Put in between their feet. So you're not actually putting tulsi leaf on Gauranga's feet. So tulsi is very dear to Krishna.
Most dear.
See what we got here. There's a nice prayer in the Radha Krishna Ganadesa Deepika, which by Rupa Goswami, who's teaching, saying that Vrinda Devi, she's always immersed. She never leaves Vrindavan. She's always immersed in love for Radha and Krishna, and always yearning to arrange their meetings, and always anxious to get the nectar of assisting in their pastimes. So she always remains in Vrindavan. Kamyavan. She stays there. When the Mughals were invading that part of the world, and they took many deities away to Jaipur, Radha Govindaji, Radha Madan Mohanji. But when they got to Kamyavan, they were carrying Vrinda Devi to Jaipur. When they got to Kamyavan, at night they stayed there, and in the morning they couldn't lift her up. So then they understood that this was, maybe they got a dictation, that she doesn't want to go. Despite the Mughal invasion. So she stayed there in Kamyavan. And Tulsi Devi, she actually had a curse to come here into the material world, and people will spit on you, and dogs will pass urine on you. Was a curse. We see that happen. I remember one time Prabhupada said, you should drive the dogs out of Mayapur. What good use are they? They only pass urine on tulsi. But she tolerates. You can learn a lot from her activities. She's very humble and tolerant. To have people spit on you and pass urine on you. You've got to be tolerant. But she stays here. She tolerates all that. Many people, saints come, they perform activities, establish, then they leave. Even the pastimes of Krishna and Vishnu, they come and have a pastime, then they leave. But Vrindadevi never leaves. She's there all the time. Whatever pastimes are going on, she's there. She never leaves Vrindavan. So that is her humility, considering that she has a choice. More tolerant than the tree. That is actually Tulsi. She's very, very tolerant. One should consider herself more tolerant than the tree. They passing urine, spitting. Not many people could tolerate that. Especially if you have a choice. If you had a choice that... If you had a choice that you could leave this world, because people are always spitting on you and passing urine. But not many people can choose to do that. But Vrindadevi can. She's a Nitya Siddha, eternal devotee of the Lord. She can. She can leave whenever she likes. But we see she doesn't. She stays there. She tolerates. There in the mood of service, serving Radha and Krishna. So we chant that song every morning. We want service to Tulsi. Please give us your savor. So how many Tulsi mala is Madhava wearing today? How many Tulsi garlands is Madhava wearing today? Five. Right. Two ankles, two wrists, two ankles, and one column there, five. Pretty good. So, let's see. She has another service, a great, she's one of the messenger carriers. Tulsi Devi. She has 1 lakh parrots, yellow parrots. And they're spies. They go and they spy. They know the geography of Vrindavan, so they see where Krishna is, or see where Jatila is, or see where Abhimanyu is, or see where... So they're spies. They can have a bird's eye view. Advantage of being tall. So they can know what's going to happen. She's a messenger carrier also. So when they make any program, what we will do tonight, what kind of activity, every day they're doing different activities, dancing, swimming in the water, playing in the water. And other swings and things like that. So they work it out, what pastimes we can assist Radha and Krishna in, how we can expand those pastimes tonight when we all meet, or the daytime, or whatever it is. So they're thinking of that. And then they actually, when they decide what they're going to do, maybe they're going to make a concert and have a musical concert. So Vrindadevi has all these different go-downs, so there's all these different kinds of instruments that they play for, make a musical concert. Venus and... Oh, there's instruments you can't... We don't know what they are. They got the names. They're not existent now. But they got them in the spiritual world, all these different... Of course, Venus is a favorite of Radharani. Krishna's flute is the favorite. But like that, she keeps all these different go-downs for musical instruments. If it's another pastime, maybe Jalkali, Then she has another go down with all the syringes and powder bombs and things like that. So this is her service. She's always, it's a Leela Shakti, expansion of Srimata Radharani. So she gives the best service to Krishna, and the best way to serve Tulsi is also offer her Tulsi to Krishna's lotus feet. Pick her leaves and offer them to, it's the best way to serve Vrinda Devi. There's some injunction that Krishna doesn't like to accept anything without Tulsi. So some pujaris, they put Tulsi on everything. Anything they offer, before they offer, they put Tulsi. On the lamp, on the flower tray, anything. Because they say, no, Krishna says he doesn't accept without Tulsi. So everything they say, literally everything that goes to the deity should be offered. So, Prabhupada told me, you can offer, what did he say? Yeah, he said, you should offer Tulsi leaves. He was teaching us how to worship Shalagram Srila. And he said, you should offer Tulsi leaves, especially the prime offering for Shalagram. And then he gave me a tip. He said, you can keep the... Because he's from Vrindavan, it gets really, really hot there in the summertime, blazing. And all the Tulsi leaves, they dry up. So Prabhupada, he said, you get a piece of cloth, soft cloth, fold it a few times, and you pick the Tulsi leaves in the morning, after sunrise, and then you get another wet cloth, and you put it on top, and like that, the Tulsi leaf will stay fresh all day you need for offering. Otherwise, they'll all shrivel up in the heat. So it's probably a Vrindavan habit, so that's the way they do it in Prabhupada. So we could do that. Something else that Prabhupada said. Anyway, it's a very, very special plant. Botanically speaking, understanding plants, is it, or something like that. So according to the botanist, that this strain, Tulsi, is like a strain of basil. The Latin name is basil. It's bigger. They use it spicing in Italian food and all things like that. Basil. It looks bigger. But this one is called sacred basil. All over the world it's known as sacred basil. Tulsi. She's sacred. So, in this species, it's quite unique. It may be the only unique species in the world like this. There may be one other one. That, you know, this is what they call cross-pollination. The bumblebees, and they go from one flower to another tree. And that's their sex life. They pick up pollen from one and go to another. And some of that pollen mixes with that, and then that produces the next. And like that. So she, in other words, she doesn't have sex desire like the other plants. There's no she doesn't have to go through this process of cross-pollination to reproduce, whereas all the other plants do. That means sex desire. But Brindadevi doesn't have that system. There's no sex desire. That's why we're worshipping every day, circumambulating with the glory of it, worshipping Tulsi and Prabhupada's established Tulsi. We are following the footsteps of a pure devotee, Nitya Siddha. No sex desire. So, we were supposed to speak something on Jagannath also, so there's a connection with the Jagannath Leela here in Rajpur. And when we were first giving the savour of Jagannath here, Srimantadweep Dham, and there was no facility there, so we were cooking here in Mayapur, and we would have one tiffin, and we would take to Jagannath Mandir. And started like that, offering one meal a day because there was no facility. Till we get more facility, then we'll increase the savour. And so Pujari was going every day on a bicycle and had a tiffin, some rice style sabji. You're offering one meal a day, so Jagannath wasn't even getting any rice at that time. So, so the pujari went there and he opened the tiffin and he started to make the plate for Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra. And he forgot to bring the tulsi leaves. And he thought, Krishna doesn't like to accept anything without tulsi, especially bhoga. So what can I do? The house was nearby, there was one house there, still there. They had a tulsi growing there, he said, he knew that. He said, but if I go there, something may happen here, because the deities were standing under the big banyan tree at that time. The big banyan tree there in Jagannath Mandir? That's where the deities were. That little place next to the little room there. The deities were in there. And it was old and broken down. The doors were broken. Everything was broken. The deities were even broken. Couldn't even stand up straight. And so he said, if I go and get the tulsi, then anything can happen. The dogs may come and their kids play around there. They may come in and spoil everything. So he made the offering without the tulsi and he apologized to Jagannath. You know, I'm sorry, I forgot to bring your tulsi. Anyway, you please kindly accept it. Yeah, your bhoga offering and be satisfied. So he made the offering and then he came outside and chanting the mantras and everything like that. And then he went back inside to take the offering away and do arati. And then there was a plate was there with a pile of rice. And within the rice was a big whole branch of tulsi. Sticking in the rice. I got some of that mahaprasad. maybe it was hand-picked by Jagannath. Anyway, Jagannath has his devotees there also. They said, we may not look after him very well, but he has his eternal devotees are coming into. They'll serve him. I ask Vishwamba Goswami from Radharaman temple. He was the father of Padmanabha, who is the present Mahanta there, or one of them. Anyway, his father was expert in identifying shaligrams and he's a friend of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said we can learn puja from Radharaman temple. Yeah. So he taught me the Maha Abhishekam also. And I asked him about Tulsi. Can Lord Chaitanya wear a peacock feather? There was two things, peacock feather and Tulsi. He said no. Prabhupada said yes, when I asked Prabhupada, can Lord Chaitanya wear a peacock feather? He said, why not? He is Krishna. So then I asked him, can Lord Chaitanya have tulsi leaves on his feet? He said, yes. Where is it? I said, well, you don't put, you're not putting a peacock feather on Lord Chaitanya, but you're putting tulsi leaves on the feet. He said, well, they're only little. They're only little. Yeah, the tulsi leaves, they're only little. No, he said, he said, why not? He is Krishna. No, he didn't. Gaur Govinda Maharaj. But Prabhupada, he sanctioned it. Why not? He is Krishna. I said, some people are criticizing Srila Prabhupada. Some Gaudiya Math people. They were, why? He's got peacock feather in his head. Prabhupada's very disappointed. He didn't say anything. He just looked down. And Shruti Kirti was there. He kind of picked up on the mood and he said, try to avoid controversies. Okay, any question or comment? Pardon? Yeah. One day, Balaram wore a peacock feather, and then the demon came. Keshi demon came and kicked Balaram with his hind legs, and sent him rolling. Then Balaram ran back home crying, jumped on the lap. I don't want to play as Krishna anymore.
So it's not proper to put peacock feathers on Balaram.
No, you can. They can put.
We can.
Anganitai. Prabhupada asked his malati. See, why Lord Chaitanya doesn't have peacock feather? She said, oh, he should have a peacock feather? Prabhupada said, yes. And she said, what about Nityananda? Prabhupada said, sometimes. The other way? Was it Balaram? Oh, it may have been. He said, what about Balaram or what about Nittai? I think it's Balaram. No, Nittai. Nittai. Because Chaturvani. Malati. Mataji. Why you didn't offer peacock feather? Oh, you should have peacock feathers, Srita Prabhupada? Yes. Lord Chaitanya should always have peacock feathers. And Nityananda? There's sometimes. Sometimes, but Lord Chaitanya should always wear peacock feathers. There's descriptions also in Shastra, the Advaita Manima. He's given a description of Gauranga's beauty from his lotus feet. And then it said on his head he has a peacock feather. And another one jauntily cocked over his ear. It goes along with a long thing on it. He wears it. Description is one on his head and one over his ear. There's also a description in the Ashtakala Leela of Gauranga after the morning program and breakfast. Mahaprabhu goes on Sankirtan with all the devotees. They go down near Gangadasi's place towards Jayadev's. And they go on Harinam Sankirtan with the devotees. You get to that area near Gangadas's tal, school of Gangadas. And then Mahaprabhu, he sees all the white cows. And, peacocks are there.
Mayo, mayo.
And of course, this is the time when Krishna goes out with the calves. So it coincides, Mahaprabhu's leader is coinciding with. He goes out at that time. He leaves the house at that time. Goes out with his devotees on Sankirtan. It's the same time as Krishna leaving and going out with his boyfriends and the cows. So he sees all the cows and there's a Vrindavan mood. Gets invoked in his mind. And he starts to calling out, Dubalai, Shamalai, Gangai, Muldi Pingali, all the cows' names and all the devotees. What's happened to Mahaprabhu? What's happening? Oh, he's gone into his Krishna Bhav. Okay, so they all take on moods of cowherd boys and they're all shouting, hey, 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 let's herd the cows. They pick up sticks and things like that and swirling them around on their fingers and, hey, let's go to Govardhan. So that description also of Gauranga, Mahaprabhu says he has a peacock feather. So we have Guru Sadhu Shastra. So. Now these controversial things, the problem is, in a lot of the cases, is that deity worship is governed by the Pancharatriki rule. Pancharatriki rule, rule and regulation, that's how the deity is worshipped in the temple. When you bring this Bhava Bhakti means peacock feather. Tulsi, it's going to disturb the mood of Lord Chaitanya, or disturb his mood. That's Bhava Bhakti. When you talk about mood, Bhava Bhakti. So that then your problems happen. The controversies come because they're trying to mix Pancharatriki Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi. But the deity is in the temple, he is governed by the Pancharajiki rules. At home? At home, you can do as you like. You can do as you like. You can worship the Lord according to your heart's content.
There's a purport in Srimad Bhagavatam where Govinda Dasi, she was the first disciple of Srila Prabhupada to get Tulsi seeds from India and take them back to the West and cultivated them and grew them to the point where she was able to mail seeds out to different temples, and then Tulsi began to be cultivated and used in the worship of the deities. And Srila Prabhupada was so appreciative, he mentions her by name in gratitude, thanking her in a purport of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, she has started Tulsi worship, something like that, in the USA or something.
Yeah, first one to grow Tulsi in the West. She was in Hawaii, that didn't hurt, but she got the credit. She was in Hawaii, which didn't hurt, but she certainly got the credit.
The Tulsi leaves grow 9 or 10 feet tall in Hawaii, yeah? I heard.
There was one thing, lesson. I listened to the class yesterday online, and there was one thing that about the Srivatsa that didn't get mentioned. There was lots of nice discussion, Srivatsa and Kostabhamani, how the Lord came to have the line or the hair. It's described both ways. Lakshmi Devi, she underwent great austerities for 10,000 years to enter into the Rasa Leela pastime with Krishna. But she couldn't give up her bhav as Lakshmi and the opulence that goes along with worship of Narayan. So she couldn't, so the Lord wouldn't fulfill her request. Said, no, you can't. And then she asked for the benediction. Well, then can I always remain on your chest? And this is the way the Srivatsa Lakshmi Devi got the moon to never be separated from her Lord on his chest.
Vivo.
Mm-hmm. That's the name, right? The line is called Srivatsa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hair, golden hair, white hair. But it's said both ways, a line and a hair.
Lock.
Yeah.
Like little lock or something. Another pastime of Jagannath I like is because it's all about the Rath Yatra, isn't it? Kuruketra. So then Krishna met the gopis at Kurukshetra, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes in the Navadip Bhava Taranga how he went, when Gauranga came back from Puri for the first time to come back to Navadvip, he stayed on the outskirts or the edge of Puri. Vidyanagar? No. Where did he stay? Vyasyaspati's house. Vyasyaspati's house? Mahaprabhu came back to Navadvip?
Vidyanagar?
Vidyanagar. Okay. At Vyasyaspati's house, I think. So anyway, Mahaprabhu came back to Navadvip and he went to the rooftop, his house, and millions of devotees, they all rushed to that place. from wherever they were, and cross the Ganga and to see Mahaprabhu again. He come back now. He was sannyasi. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when will that day come when I can see my Lord on the rooftop of Yashaspati's house? He is, it's the same Lord of my heart, I know. But our desire is to take you back to Shiva Sangam, where you had beautiful locks of hair flowing and you wore your yellow dhoti. And this is, our heart wants to take you back to Shiva Sangam, where we performed all these pastimes of Sankirtan. So Bhaktivinoda saying, this is just like the gopis when they met Krishna there at Kuruketra, that we want. You're a great prince here, and you're surrounded by infants and rattling of chariots, and it's the same moonlit night of Chaitra, same breezes, sweet breezes are here. But we long to take that Krishna back to Vrindavan. This is our home. So this was the meaning of the Rath Yatra that we're pulling back to Vrindavan. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying this is in the mood of how the gopis were expressing to Krishna Kuruketra to come back so to Vrindavan. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was praying that here you're dressed as a sannyasi, we don't want to see you like this as a renounce. We can't tolerate actually to think that our Lord became a renouncer. We don't. He's a supreme enjoyer after all. Why he should renounce? So dressed like a sannyasi, please come. So this is one of the reasons they followed, observed the Rath Yatra is pulling Krishna to Vrindavan, the gopis are pulling. And there's another concerning the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he wrote something, and I wish to do my bhajan here in Kuruketra. So some followers, they found it, what he had written. They said, "How are you? Why are you all saying this? All the bhaktas, especially the Gaudiyas, Odiyas, Vrindavan, they were worshipping, they want to do their bhajan in Vrindavan, in Radhakund, in Kovadan, Manasri Ganga, in Navadvip, in Mayapur, in Puri, where the Lord performed all his pastimes. Why are you all saying that you would like to do your bhajan here at Kuruketra? Battlefield. Not a place for bhajan." So the disciples, they asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur why Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote this. And then he explained that here they are at Kuruketra, the gopis have come to meet Krishna secretly and they're having discussion. And Radharani and her friends, they're trying their best to Krishna that will come back. It's hope against hope. Krishna's got 16,000 wives with him. He can't go back to Vrindavan with all those wives and all the infantry and all the royal paraphernalia. So hope against hope. Hope against hope. Impossible, practically, but there may be. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in that state of Srimati Radharani, that state of consciousness, she's so delicate. It's so delicate, her position. We want Krishna to come back, he's here, but it's impossible, practically, but she's in this position. Ecstatic mood of so Bhaktivinoda Thakur was comparing that. If I can please or pacify Radharani, I can do my bhajan and I can pacify Radharani a little bit, she certainly will be pleased, because like this she's in great anxiety, great stress, so many feelings are there. If I can help her little bit and pacify her a little bit by service, then surely she will bless me. We're aspiring for the mercy of Radharani, that's why everyone is here. So surely she will help me, even though we're in Kuruketra, the place of the battles, etc. If I can do my bhajan here and please Srimati Radharani, then she will bestow her grace on me very easily. Very good. Radhe Radhe. I like that story. Okay, Shri Bhagavan Ki Jai. What? Dwadasi. He says you cannot take Tulsi on the Dwadasi. You cannot offer. You cannot? Oh, pick up Tulsi. I heard. I won't mention. But I just heard a few days ago, so it's, I don't want to say anything to me. But anyway, she's at that time. Lakshmi she's spending time with Krishna during this Angurag, painting of Jagannath and everything like that. Adashwara, yeah. Angurag, repainting and repairing any restoration that needs to be done. And simultaneously, Jagannath gets cold, gets a fever for those 2 weeks. So it's that. So one version is as an excuse they can go. He's going to goes with Lakshmi. Jagannath goes with Lakshmi because he's going to go away for a couple of weeks to Puri, with Balaram and Subhadra, and Lakshmi cannot go due to custom, so she's to get a little bit angry or a little bit upset. So Krishna, he agrees to stay there for 2 weeks. Solely he gives to Lakshmi, no other interference. And what did he say? He said it was I don't know even if it was connected to that. But the idea was that on Tuesdays her day she has with Vishnu. Dwadasi. So every Dwadasi we don't pick the Tulsi leaves. Huh?
Soul attention that day? Are you saying Tulsi Devi gets Krishna's soul attention that day, like Lakshmi gets Jagannath and Anavasara? Is that the comparison? Don't pick on Dwadashi because Tulsi's with Krishna on that day?
Don't pick the Tulsi on Dwadashi because it's a day that Lakshmi spends with Krishna and she wants maximum time. So don't distract me in any way from my being with Vishnu. Be careful. Don't distract me because we only get a certain time. We will have this day fully to Krishna, fully dedicates himself. So even that, taking that time to pick to Tulsi, it will take my time away from Tulsi or Lakshmi? Huh?
Tulsi.
Tulsi. Okay. Tulsi. Yeah. Don't see. Pick up Tulsi.
Hare Krishna, we pick up Tulsi leaves because we want to use Tulsi to serve Krishna, to put them together. How it is considered as a bothering or separation?
No, you picked the day before. That's the injunction. You should pick the Tulsi leaves the day before. And keep them in so they don't dry up. In emergency we're picking Tulsi. Yeah, I heard that also from one Gaudiya Math person. I asked him and he said, I was in front of the deities, they come to the side. And I asked him that question. He said, that's the day when the Tulsi has a period, a menstrual period. But there's two daughters in a month, I say. Generally, it's one time a month, isn't it? Another person told me, another Gaudiya Math sannyasi, he told me it was Brindadevi appears on the Dwadasi. She appears, her birthday is on the Dwadasi. So we don't pick that then. Okay.
He told me, he said, Dwadasi is her day off.
Well, that matches with the first story. Brinda Devi, Bhakti Devi, Tulsi Maharani ki, Jagannath Swami ki, Nitai Go Premanandi. Hari Bol. Thank God. Mother Earth. Mother Earth has a spirit.